Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Wednesday, March 15th, 2017. I am Jason Powell on ProWrestling.net. Today, you will be seeing John Moore's Talking Smack recap, along with Zach Zimmerman's full review of the WWE 205 live show. Coming up after this break for non-members, my full review of WWE SmackDown. WWE SmackDown took place in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at PPG Paints Arena on Tuesday. And in the interest of full disclosure, I'm actually recording this late Tuesday night with the goal of getting this to you guys very early on Wednesday. And boy, this was one weird show. What happened to my SmackDown? I did it for a while there, for quite some time actually, following the draft. Raw was a three-hour marathon. It just dragged. It was boring. You'd find some good stuff in there here and there, but it was just not a very consistently entertaining show. And you could always count on SmackDown on Tuesday nights, more often than not, at least to deliver good quality pro wrestling. I don't know what's going on here, but this was one of the most embarrassing shows I've seen from WWE on any brand in quite some time. This was... Oh, man, where to begin? AJ Styles and Shane McMahon, the silliness of putting a camera in the back of the car just to get a cool production shot and just destroy any sense of suspension of disbelief. The Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt hocus-pocus nonsense, putting basically two heels in the ring together and then probably sitting backstage wondering why the crowd wasn't reacting whatsoever. This was just a mess, and I know I'm leaving some things out that we will eventually get to, but very down on this particular episode. And it's too bad because it was meant to be a big episode for SmackDown. They did announce officially, well, not officially, they had Shane McMahon say that AJ Styles has an opponent for WrestleMania. This coming after Daniel Bryan fired AJ Styles. So I guess, you know, we're going to see the match. Calm down, Ed Nordholm. No, this doesn't mean that AJ Styles is a free agent. But we're going to see AJ and Shane at WrestleMania. I guess we'll have to wait and see. I have not, as I'm recording this, I have not seen the Talking Smack show yet. I'm actually recording this as 205 Live airs on WWE Network. Again, you can check Zach Zimmerman's coverage of that show. We'll see the match at WrestleMania, but I'm guessing it's going to be pretty straightforward because they only have a couple of weeks left, two episodes of SmackDown left before WrestleMania to promote this, and so I don't think you're going to see, you know, AJ. I don't think you'll see him playing it up like AJ is a free agent and does he want the match. I think obviously his character does. They also officially announced the mixed tag match of John Cena and Nikki Bella facing The Miz and Maryse, and I'm now more convinced than ever that it's going to end with John Cena on one knee proposing to Nikki Bella. It will be a cruel joke on Nikki at this point, if he doesn't. So it was meant to be this big show, and they just gave us a bunch of weird nonsense. Let's work our way through it. Opened up with footage from the AJ Styles and Shane McMahon confrontation that was filmed after last week's show. And then backstage at SmackDown, Daniel Bryan was on the phone telling someone about Miz TV and a Randy Orton promo. I don't know if it's supposed to be Brie. At first I thought it was Shane, but then I guess it wasn't Shane, so maybe I missed something. But AJ entered the room and was searching for Shane. Styles told Bryan to get off the phone. Daniel Bryan complied, and he said he was going to slap Shane across the face. Bryan said Shane would be there later, and Styles said that he was going to the ring, and Bryan told Styles that he has his career to be thinking about, and then Styles told him that's exactly what he was thinking about. The broadcast team on this show was Tom Phillips and JBL. Mauro Ranallo and David Otunga were absent. They did explain that Mauro, due to the blizzard, was unable to be there, and I think it was David Otunga was filming a movie, and so he couldn't be there. I miss Mauro, and I think Otunga's been better lately. I'll take the two-man team. I'm hoping that that WWE will stop and go, you know what? I don't know that we need four guys. I wouldn't want to go with Face Love and JBL every week. But, I honestly, as much as I like Mauro's work, I would take that over a four-man booth. I mean, I'd rather have Mauro Ranallo be part of this, obviously. But, two-man, you just catch what they're saying. You know, it's just, I find myself just unintentionally zoning out three and even four-man broadcast booths just because there's so much going on and trying to keep up with who's saying what. I don't even mean to. It just happens. JBL talked about, he said repeatedly throughout the show that Styles is the best performer of the generation, and he said in this case he had every right to be upset. Well, AJ headed to the ring, and he was breathing heavily into the mic for a bit, and the fans were chanting his name, and he just talked about how he's sick and tired of being messed with by Daniel Bryan and Shane, and kind of ran through everything he had to do the whole WrestleMania title shot scenario. He complained about John Cena asking for a title shot against him and getting it, and Styles said he lost to Cena and he accepts that, but he said he expected a rematch, and this is actually where he went through that whole scenario of triple threat, then he had to be in Elimination Chamber, never got a singles match, then they put him in the Battle Royal, then he had to beat Luke Harper, then he had to face Randy Orton, and he said that Randy Orton burned down Bray Wyatt's house, and he wasn't arrested, and he instead gets to main event WrestleMania. And he said, anyone who knows this business knows he had the best year in 2016. And he said he put SmackDown Live on the map. And he's the reason why fans are in the seat. And even took credit for all of the WWE Network subscribers. Now that sounds, I mentioned this in my live review. If you didn't see the show, that line probably makes it seem like, oh, this is just, kind of tongue-in-cheek AJ. And he really wasn't. He was very straightforward in this. So, yeah, just in case you didn't see the show, this was not your typical AJ. There was a mean streak there. He was very serious in his tone, and I liked it a lot. He says, despite all this, what do I get? I don't even have a match at WrestleMania. And he said he could have slapped the taste out of Daniel Bryan's mouth, but he's nothing more than a puppet. So instead, he was going to have a conversation with Shane about his career. And he said, that is if I even have one. And he slammed the mic down, and he left the ring. Broadcast team talked about that, and then they set up they just announced the first match, and they went to a commercial break. Yeah, again, I think the highlight of this is just AJ's serious demeanor. That was the one thing. As much as I enjoyed AJ as champion and his feud with John Cena, there was always that little bit of kind of over-the-top comedic element with his character. There was not that he was completely Miz-like, but there were some Miz-like qualities, just him being over-the-top in some of his bragging and things like that. Where this is what I was hoping for. I want to see AJ Styles cast as just a serious heel. And the way they did it was good, but I think this is even better. I think you make more money with a heel like this, and I want to see AJ be positioned as someone who you don't laugh at, that you respect, and when he's cutting a promo like this, maybe even fear a little bit. I think that's something we really haven't seen from the AJ character, maybe ever in his career. You don't really, there hasn't been really given a reason to fear AJ Styles, where maybe this will help. As oddball as this all turned out, maybe they can kind of add that element to AJ. The opening match coming out of the commercial break was Becky Lynch defeating Natalya in 8:25. She beat her with a disarmer. And then afterward, Carmella ended up entering the ring and kicking Becky in the face. And then she ended up doing the same thing to Natalya. James Ellsworth entered the ring, and he was still holding his neck, selling from last week, and left with Carmella. Obviously, they're just getting her into the women's match at WrestleMania. Styles was shown pacing backstage. He's waiting for Shane McMahon. They showed some footage of John Cena at the Kids' Choice Awards. Nikki Bella was there, and then they hyped Miz TV for after the break. And coming out of the commercial, Carmella indicated to the backstage interviewer that she is in the Women's Championship match at WrestleMania, so no surprise there. They're still playing it up as Alexa Bliss against anyone on the roster who can be there. And JBL, throughout the night, was making a very valid point. Like, this is not fair to Alexa Bliss. You expect the heel color commentator to stand up for the heels, and at times, there's naturally going to be some logic to it. You don't want it to be so over the top they just have no credibility, but it's like he's spot on here. It's silly that she has to, they don't even tell, like, viewers don't even know what the hell kind of match, nothing. It's just she has to face anyone on the roster. So is it a gauntlet? What is this? Then we went to the Miz and Marissa segment for Miz TV. The idea here was to kind of recap Marissa's complaints about Nikki. I haven't seen the episode. Johnny Fairplay has told me a couple of different times he really liked the episode. I think it was the first episode of the latest season, or at least half a season. I don't know what point, but where Maryse, whenever she joined the cast, I guess she really laid into the Bellas and was very honest, and at least Johnny took it as her being honest and upset about the way things went down with her previously, and she kind of recapped that here, talking about how she was supposed to be part of the cast, and Nikki said she'd take care of it. She said, "Don't worry about it," because she's dating John Cena, so she's untouchable. Marie said she really didn't hear much about it. The next thing she knew, it was Nikki telling her that she and Brie were going to be on the first season of Total Bellas. And Marie said that Nikki took 2.5 years away from her that she could have spent with her husband, and now she's all about revenge. Maurice wasn't great here. That's just listening. Johnny has recapped that Total Divas episode better than Maurice did here. That's for sure. It just didn't come like sitting there listening. Marie, and Miz was trying to kind of keep her on point and remind her of certain things. So it just wasn't a great moment for Maurice. Nikki Bella came out and she denies all this, even though in the version I know I've heard from Fairplay, kind of sounds like the Bellas didn't have a good excuse for their antics, on Total Divas. But so here it was just kind of deny, and she said she didn't steal Maurice's money, referring to, the money she lost out on, and that they made up this story. And Nikki ended up inviting her to the ring so she could kick her ass. Miz told Nikki that she couldn't make up matches, and he says, "What do you think you are, John Cena?" And he said Maurice has nothing to prove in the ring, and he said the time is up, Miz TV is over. And he told them to continue being bad people. Well, they were about to head to the back. Daniel Bryan came out. He wasn't happy because Miz had played it up to him. The idea was that he had a very special Miz TV, and Daniel didn't think this qualified as special. It wasn't like Cena and Nikki were supposed to be the guests or anything. It just was Miz and Maurice out there complaining and ripping into John and Nikki. And this was a really good promo from Bryan. He just talked about all the things that make him want to punch Miz in the face, such as, just him running his mouth, mocking him for not being able to wrestle, knowing that he can't punch him in the face, and impersonating his moves in the ring, and all these different things. And he said, but he knows two people who can punch him in the face, and that's when Daniel Bryan announced Cena and Nikki against Miz and Maurice for WrestleMania. The mixed tag is on. Cena and Nikki were celebrating this in the ring. They kissed, and Miz and Maurice were not happy. They threw a fit at ringside. The reason I mentioned earlier that I think Cena's going to be down on one knee at WrestleMania is they went out of their way in a video package to show Maurice pointing out that she has one thing that Nikki will never have, a ring. She pointed to her wedding ring. And it's possible they just do the match and move on, and I'll feel bad for Nikki Bella at that point. But I really do wonder if that's why this match is happening. I know some people are more okay with it than others. If this is what Cena wants to do at Mania, fine. But the way he's spoken about the match, both in interviews and with mainstream interviews, and then just his promos on the show, making it known, like if he had his way, he'd be facing Undertaker, and that sort of a thing. It just seems like he doesn't want to be in it. You just expect John Cena to be in a high-profile singles match at WrestleMania. So this, I can't. I side with people who feel like, yeah, this is kind of beneath him. Not that they can't make the best of it. Not that it can't be, somewhat of a meaningful match at WrestleMania. But if you factor in the potential engagement, it makes a lot more sense. So I'm guessing that's where it's going, and I would think that Nikki probably feels the same way, and she'll be devastated. They better have a close-up on Nikki, if John, either way, whether he proposes or whether it's just like, all right, that's it, let's go to the back. It's going to be awkward if he doesn't get down on one knee. We had a shot of AJ Styles waiting backstage for Shane to arrive still, and then JBL was hyping a Randy Orton promo on Bray Wyatt, and then they hyped Alexa Bliss against Mickie James for after the break, and right there I'm like, what? They haven't really done anything here. Mickie's still kind of a heel, maybe? I mean, she had issues with Bliss, but she hasn't, like, delivered that babyface promo or anything. Well, sure enough, they went through with the match, and as you would expect, the live crowd just sat there. They didn't know what to do. It was Mickie defeating Alexa in a non-title match in 8:50. She ended up catching her with the Mick kick and getting the clean pin. So she goes over, but yeah, the fans didn't know what to do, and I didn't know how they were supposed to react. And I mentioned, Pittsburgh has had some rough crowds over the years in terms of just being kind of a quiet crowd. And people will point to bigger things like the Royal Rumble, whatever, but they've had some really quiet TV crowds over the years. This you can't blame on Pittsburgh, and you can't blame it on the talent. I would hope that some backstage in WWE is going to look in the mirror, because it really wasn't the crowd, and it wasn't Mickie James, and it wasn't Alexa Bliss. It's that the fans had no incentive to cheer for one woman or the other. I didn't like this at all. I still think If they want Mickey to be a heel, I think she can play the part well. If they want Mickey to be a babyface, she can play the part well. We've seen this for many years, and it's not like she'd been on a WWE for a while, but she was really effective in TNA as both. I really liked her heel work, and she also is still a very good babyface. Pick a direction for this woman. Just seriously, let her go out there. She's a good talker. Whatever the direction is, send her out there with a promo, either to get the fans behind her or to heel on the fans, and I think she can execute. They went backstage where Renee Young interviewed AJ Styles, and he said that WrestleMania is the ultimate thrill ride, so he's getting his thrills where he can. And he snuck up on a car that arrived. Sure enough, it was Shane's car. He had a driver. He's a man of the people with a driver. Styles ended up roughing up Shane, just kind of jumped him. So apparently no one thought, hey, let's call Shane and give him a heads up that AJ's waiting for you backstage. And you could say, well, maybe they did, and he didn't realize AJ was going to jump him like this. I mean, who would have the audacity to lay a finger on a McMahon family member? Styles ended up beating up Shane and then slammed his head through a car window. And Finlay showed up and asked Styles what the hell was the matter with him. He called for help as Shane was selling this, and you could see some blood on the top of Shane's head. And they went to a commercial. And at this point, I'm like, this is pretty good. I good luck getting the WrestleMania fans to root against AJ Styles. I don't know what this guy could do. I just think it's going to be a really tough sell. I think that fan base is going to love AJ Styles. I don't think they're going to play along, no matter how aggressive as a heel they try to make AJ. But at least this was off to a good start. I was at this point pretty happy with it. Then we had footage of Styles attacking Shane after the break, and backstage, Finlay was standing by as a trainer, and two EMTs tended to Shane. JBL sat at his desk and said that Shane is an officer of the company, and this wasn't the way for AJ to go about getting a WrestleMania match. Mixed thoughts on that one. I mean, JBL is the heel, but oftentimes, I would argue too often now, too frequently now, we see them use the heel color commentators to really, in this manner, to make it seem like, wow, the heel crossed the line to the point that even he's bothered. The problem is that the color commentators don't really aren't consistent. They're playful color commentators. And so when they side with the heels, it's done in a tongue-in-cheek manner. In a position like this, it's like, it just doesn't mean anything from, coming from the color commentators at this point. And I really like the work of Corey Graves on Raw, for instance. But, if they put him in this same position, I think the effect would be the same. I just don't think it would be that effective. AJ was shown inside a locker room being scolded by Jimmy Uso, Jey Uso, and for some reason, Curt Hawkins. The Usos told him that he was nuts and he can't be doing stuff like that. It's like, wait a minute, what? The badass Usos are the ones telling him this? The guys who were just taking out the knees of their opponents intentionally, trying to put them on the shelf? The Usos? Again, if the idea is, well, boy, even this was too much even for the Usos. It shouldn't have been. That's stupid. The Usos should not have been bothered. You could pick so many other people from the heel locker room. I mean, granted, it's not a deep roster. Find someone. You don't use the Usos. Don't use Baron Corbin. Don't use Bray Wyatt. I mean, I this, I just sat there shaking my head, going, "Why would you do that with the Usos?" Shane ended, or I'm sorry, Daniel, AJ ended up leaving the room, and then Daniel Bryan approached him. Bryan said it was an act of a coward, and he said he doesn't care how good or valuable AJ is. He's not untouchable. And then Styles mockingly asked if he was going to fire him, and Daniel says, "Damn right I'm going to fire you. Get the hell out of here." And then Brian had security remove Styles from the building, and they went to a commercial, and I'm like, this isn't happening. At this point, I think if you've been watching wrestling for any length of time, you're like, oh, so, Shane's going to be, you're not fired. You're facing me at WrestleMania. What a punishment that is. Well, anyway. The broadcast team spoke at ringside about the Styles and Shane angle. Phillips pointed out that what Styles did was premeditated. And then JBL said the greatest performer of the generation is now fired, and it's shocking. I didn't like the broadcast team when they were talking about this. I'll say that. I thought, during the matches and things, when they react, it was easier to follow them. This wasn't a great example of a spectacular two-man broadcast team, but I can't say that I really missed the crowded booth either. Third match Out of nowhere, Mojo Rawley defeated Dolph Ziggler by count out in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. I think we've reached the point where they don't even want to tell you that Dolph is having a match on their show now. He just kind of seems to be popping up and having matches every week. And some of it may have to do with his opponent. Ziggler ended up, well, the idea was that I think they're both in the Battle Royal. I know Mojo is. And so Mojo kept throwing Ziggler over the top rope, and JBL would point out that, oh, if this were the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, he'd be eliminated. Okay, I mean, I kind of get it, but what are we gonna have somebody pin someone in the battle royal? I mean, it's just as stupid. He's out there for a match, not to see if he can not be thrown over the top rope. Did I miss some sort of an agreement between the two of them in the ring where they were talking to each other? And if so, then it still wouldn't do much for me, but it would make more sense because I was gonna say, it'd be like pinning someone in a battle royal. Doesn't matter, it wasn't the rules of the match. Anyhow, so he does this three times. The third time, Ziggler was about to return to the ring at the referee's nine count, and then just decided no, and turned around and left, and he was counted out. Mojo seemed like he was pleased. It was hard to tell if he was like angry about it. I took it as like he was happy that he won the match by count out, but I may have misread that one. Because I'll be honest. I didn't care. The broadcast team spoke about the Shane angle, and here's where they ruined it. They had to show us new footage shot from inside the car, the back seat of the car, of Shane's head going through the glass. Why would you just kill the suspension of disbelief? Yeah, it looked, it's a nice shot. It's kind of cool to see the head come crashing through. It's not worth it. It's just sports entertainment garbage. I don't know why you would do this. It was not worth whatever benefit they think there was to it. It just killed the moment for a lot of people. And I know they think that it's all fun and games and it's only wrestling or however they want it, whatever their mindset is to this, whatever justification they have, it's flawed. It's wrong. It's stupid. Why would there be a camera inside this car? And if you can't explain that, then don't do it. What are we supposed to believe? Like they have cameras in all these cars? I mean, if you want to take the time and claim that, now it wouldn't have looked right because I think they use don't they use like big black SUVs when they do the ride-along show? I haven't watched enough of it to know. The ones I've seen, that's what they use. But had it been like a ride-along thing, like, hey, you won't believe it, we just happened to have footage because this was being filmed for, this was going to be used for ride-along, and you make up names that, are going to be on the show at a later date, or even something that's already been filmed, fine. But just to have them magically have a camera in the back of that car without any explanation, such a turnoff. I know, again, I know they're going to try to defend this as it's sports entertainment, no, don't do this. Was the straightforward wrestling show. Why are they moving away from it on Tuesdays? So bad. Just ruined the angle for me. It really did. They talked about the Warrior Award, and then in a backstage promo for 205 Live, Neville spoke about the five-way elimination, and he said the winner will be broken and humiliated at the Ultimate Thrill Ride, WrestleMania. Yes, they're making these guys say that now. They have to add that to their promo. It can't just be humiliated at WrestleMania. It's got to be at the Ultimate Thrill Ride, WrestleMania. That sounds so genuine. Then it was time for Randy Orton to make his entrance for a promo. Broadcast team kind of recapped him burning down the Wyatt family compound, and it was at this point that I'm like, that's right, even AJ mentioned it. So well, basically beating up Shane McMahon is a fireable offense in WWE. Burning down the house of an opponent and desecrating his sister's grave is apparently acceptable behavior in WWE. We'll have another example of that coming up. Orton just talked about how he could have hit an RKO on Bray Wyatt whenever he wanted, but he wanted him to hit him where it hurt. He said, if you can't beat him, join him. You didn't have to join him. Everyone beat the Wyatt family. Dean Ambrose is the only guy who lost a feud to Bray Wyatt. They had some best of something that went on forever, and Bray won, and I don't think many people remember. Nobody lost to the Wyatts. How many times has Dean beat them since? But yeah, since Randy joined, they've become champions. They won the tag titles. They won the singles titles. How many titles did they have before then? No, NXT doesn't count. They have any down there? I don't remember. But none. So that made no sense, just as I said it wasn't going to. When going into all of this, like, well, if this is their mindset, it's a stupid reason. If this is their logic, it's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. Sure enough, that's what they're going with. You can't beat them, join them. Just have like two more matches. You'll inevitably beat them. He said he earned Bray Wyatt's trust, and the longer he waited, the more the venom ran deeper in his veins. And then he repeated the whole "if you can't beat 'em, join 'em" line, and this time added, "and at the right time, screw 'em." Oh boy, Orton said that he had to hit Bray where it hurt. That's why he destroyed Sister Abigail's spirit or some mumbo jumbo crap. And he said Wyatt is now alone. And then he looked at the WrestleMania sign and said the job isn't done. He has one more thing left to do. "I swear to God that I will take everything from Bray Wyatt," Randy ended up saying. Okay, it'll be, Goldberg we knew was winning because he promised his family, his wife, his son, his friends. Does Orton swearing to God mean he's going to win? Probably not. I don't think they look at it the same way. The Wyatt family video flashed, and then Bray Wyatt appeared on the big screen, and he said he thought he lost his power until he returned to what's left of his home. And Wyatt said he should have known better. Said Orton thought he burned the soul of Abigail, Sister Abigail, but she's the spawn of Satan, and it was forged in hell itself, and her heart still beats in the black heart of her apostles. Oh my God. He said he now has Sister Abigail's powers, and he has no boundaries. Ugh. He said that he is the all-seeing and the all-knowing, and it's his duty to purge all of the infidels in his life. He said that he's starting with Orton. Well, that'd be a good place to start, I guess, because that's the only guy you're really feuding with. I guess Luke Harper, kind of. But he said that he consumed Sister Abigail's wickedness and is now born again. And then he baptized himself using the ashes from Sister Abigail's grave. So he smears all these black ashes all over his arms and then all over his face. And then he holds his arms out in a crucifix pose and said, "Follow the buzzards." And then he screamed. And that was the end of the segment. Oh, my. The hocus pocus. It's so, hey, if there's some, if people out there listening go, I don't mind this kind of thing. God bless you. I can't stand it. I hated it when I was there at a couple weeks ago when they did this to get this started. I was at the show where they did the cabin burning or whatever the hell that thing. The shed burning is what it looked like. Apparently Bray Wyatt lives in a shed because it didn't look like that was necessarily his home as much as it was just a shed. But still, I didn't like it then. But it was like, well, the crowd seems to like it a lot more than I do. Maybe we're in the minority on this. If you're somebody like me who just thinks this hocus pocus crap is just worthless, I was stunned by how many people were like, "Yeah, get him, Randy, burn his house down." I'm like, oh my Lord. So none of this works for me. The one positive I found in Bray having his house burned down and his sister's grave desecrated was that, well, at least they're saying he's powerless, so that's an end of the hocus pocus Bray Wyatt. But now they're saying he's more powerful than ever. It's like we're back with, oh, we'll make Bray like Undertaker. He'll have all these powers. Stop. Please don't. Come on. Bray Wyatt is just he's a cult leader. And, there's plenty to play with as far as that character goes. I don't think they've even really quite tapped into what they could do with it. This superpower nonsense that, not the way that I think WWE should go with this. No one's talking about the championship. Orton just wants to take it from him because he wants to take everything from him, not because he covets it. It goes back to what I said about the on the Raw side, which is those are better. But Lesnar wants to beat Goldberg. That's about revenge, not about becoming Universal Champion. Kevin Owens wants to beat Chris Jericho. That's about revenge for Jericho costing him his championship. The more important championship. We don't hear anything from Owens about how badly he wants to become U.S. champion because it's a step down. You have just three male singles title matches right there where the belt means nothing. And they kind of found a way to do the same thing with the Intercontinental title, so stay tuned. But really bad. Then we had a WrestleMania flashback featuring The Rock and to Good Times when People setting things on fire were not houses. They were just symbols. Then we had the broadcast team speaking at their desk as footage of the recent Baron Corbin and Dean Ambrose forklift angle aired. Then they went to Dasha Fuentes backstage. She asked Baron Corbin what he says about people feeling he crossed the line. A lot of line crossing going on in SmackDown. She's talking about the forklift angle. And he said that there are no lines in his world. And Ambrose came looking for him and he put him in the hospital. And he said he's going to take everything from Ambrose, including the Intercontinental Championship, and then he'll put him down for good. So, not that he did talk down about the Intercontinental Championship, but why does he want to win it other than to just to take it from Dean Ambrose? These titles don't mean anything. They're really doing just a piss poor job with these championships heading into their biggest show of the year. And I think some of that is because they're all new champions. And it's like, really, it's, oh, God, I don't know why they have these short titles. You know, they change everything up going into WrestleMania, and now they're having these feuds about anything but the title belts. And then they're going to wonder, like, why don't our championships mean anything? Well, here you go. It's pretty obvious. Baron Corbin is trying to win the Intercontinental Championship for the first time. I don't care how much of a lone wolf his character is, or if he's supposed to kind of be this cool heel bad boy, he should still want that championship. It should mean something to his character to win that title. It's collecting gold, and it shows. It puts him on the map. I mean, there's plenty of ways you can frame this, and they're not even trying. He just wants to take everything from Ambrose, so including that Intercontinental Championship, basically. Not good. This whole thing about well, Shane McMahon beating him up is a fireable offense, but you can put a forklift over someone's chest and not be fired in WWE. And I also noted in my live review that a lot of talk all of a sudden about wrestlers taking everything from their opponents. Are they even paying attention to what one promo is going to be compared to the next one? I mean, we just heard a lot of this. Fourth match, a match that a lot of us have been waiting for, that we're excited about. American Alpha against the Usos in a non-title match. Now, that part disappointing. Did they even mention this match was coming up? It's like I'm doing a live review. Sometimes I'll fall behind. I'll have to fast forward or rewind a little bit during and try to catch up during commercial breaks, that sort of a thing. Did they ever mention that this match was going to be on the show? Because I don't remember hearing anything. Again, it is possible I missed something, but it's like, where'd this come from? And it ended up being the Usos beating American Alpha in a non-title match in 10:50, and that's the best thing I can say because they should win, and I'm hoping that this means they're going to be granted a title shot at WrestleMania. Of course, keep in mind that the big, bad, nasty Usos who like to take out the knees of the opponents just because they can, well, earlier in the night, they kind of lost some of their heel. They should have just turned in their heel cards, basically, for coming down on AJ Styles for what he did. But still, it wasn't even that. It wasn't the fact that it was just a non-title match that came out of nowhere. It was that they kept cutting to the back to show us shots of Shane McMahon walking. I'm not kidding. They would go backstage and he'd be led around by Finlay and Jamie Noble. And the first time Finlay was trying to talk Shane into going to the hospital, no, not Super Shane. He's not going to a hospital. Don't be ridiculous. So they go to a commercial break, hyping that there's going to be another update on Shane. Not stay tuned for the SmackDown Tag Team Champions facing what some say are their top challenger. No, for an update on Shane. You can say both, At least give the tag title or the you give the tag team champion some lip service, would you? They come back. Jimmy Uso applies the Randy Orton chin lock of doom on Jason Jordan. The crowd is just silent at this point. You would have thought that Alexa Bliss and Mickie James were back in the ring wrestling. It was so quiet in there. And again, you don't blame the crowd for this. This isn't, oh, Pittsburgh's a rough crowd. Yeah, they can be. Not on this night. I don't blame them for anything. They go to another split screen shot eventually of Shane McMahon now walking out the exit door. But then he stops and he turns around and Finlay says, "You need to rethink this." And then Tom Phillips, face lover, said that he was just told that Shane McMahon is on his way out. And I look at the clock, and there's 3 minutes until the top of the hour. And I'm like, they're going to finish this match, and they're going to, what? Well, in the ring, you had a couple of good suplexes from Gable. Jay ended up rolling up Gable and holding the tights. He got a two count, and then Jordan tagged in. They set up for their finisher, but Jimmy broke it up as the non-legal man, and then he super kicked Jordan, and Jay pinned Jordan. So they got that out of the way. 10:50 was the time on this, and then they had just enough time for Shane. All of a sudden, they show the stage, and you start hearing this tapping on the mic on a microphone, and it's Shane. And he's kind of stumbling around out there. He's got his shirt's ripped, and you can see he's got the tank top on underneath, the white shirt. And then he says, Styles doesn't have an opponent at WrestleMania. He does now. Bam, show over, just like that. Whatever reaction there was going to be from the crowd, you got to hear like a fraction of a second of it. It sounded like people were going to cheer. I couldn't tell. So I don't know if it was so close to the top of the hour that they had it, they were just like, damn, we really ran long. We got to get off the air. Or if they thought by doing it this way, when it looked like there was nothing left on the show, Shane comes out, it's going to add to the realism. Never mind the fact of all the stupid things that went against. I mean, nothing felt real on this show because of the way they approached so many of the other things. But at that point, were they really worried about trying to like make it seem like this was a realistic moment, and Shane is just stumbling out there, and he's not supposed to be there to accept that, not even to accept a challenge, to inform AJ Styles that he does have a WrestleMania opponent. It's him. Super Shane is going to face AJ Styles at WrestleMania, apparently. Boy, and I would have been okay with a lot of this. Not, I mean, I didn't like the way they interrupted that match. I mean, that's something. You want to do something like this, you do it earlier in the show. You make it the Vaudevillains against, well, if Zack Ryder was healthy, against Zack and Mojo. You can go ahead and, basically, you can show Shane walking backstage during their match. You don't do it to the tag team champions facing their number one contenders in the minds of everyone. You just don't do that. But I was with them until that whole thing with the camera in the car, as far as that angle went, just ruined it for me. And then the Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, hocus pocus nonsense, not doing anything for me. Again, what happened to my SmackDown? What happened to the straightforward pro wrestling show? You can count on it being good. You're going to get good in-ring action. We didn't get much of that on this show either. It just was a bunch of bad angles. And so, really disappointing edition of SmackDown. And let's hope that they pull back on some of this silliness, because Tuesday nights were fun. I mean, how many times did I tell you guys that, you could get like some of the, there was a time there where you'd get like kind of a weak Raw pay-per-view, and then Raw, then or SmackDown for that matter, both. But you get the next night, you'd have a 3-hour marathon Raw, and you'd think, man, I'm spent. I don't even want to watch wrestling. But it's like, oh wait, but SmackDown, I'm looking forward to that. That's a good show. So even when you're completely burned out on wrestling after like 6, 7 hours of bad wrestling in 2 nights, you got SmackDown to look forward to. And now Raw's better, and SmackDown is going down the toilet. So very disappointing. Hey, if you like these longer editions of the show and you're listening on the All Access side, know that the members get these for all the major television shows. On Monday, they heard my full-length review of Raw on Monday night after the show. So if you're a night owl, it's usually ready for you that evening. If you just want it ready from the commute to work in the morning, it's there for you too. And we cover all the major television shows: Raw, SmackDown, NXT, 205 Live, Ring of Honor, and Impact Wrestling's, and then, of course, all the major pay-per-view events as well. If you're interested in membership, visit the main page at ProWrestling.net. Just click into that sign-up area. Once you are in there, you'll find 3 different pricing options. $7.50 gets you in the door, and for 1 month. And what a month it is. So if you sign up today, that's going to carry you through until mid-April and get you through WrestleMania and everything coming out of WrestleMania. But if you want to save yourself some money, there is a 6-month option, and of course, the annual option will bring the price down $2 per month on average, bringing it down to an average of $5.50. Again, all the details available on the main page at ProWrestling.net. Please take a moment and subscribe to this daily podcast, and we would really appreciate a simple rating on iTunes. Thank you so much for listening today, everybody. For members, I'll be back on Thursday with the .NET Weekly Audio Show with Jake Barnett and I. Jake will be by with the hit list on a Wednesday afternoon, and then he and I are going to get together on Thursday to discuss all the news of the week. Looking forward to getting together with Jake. It's been a couple of weeks since he and I have chatted on the .NET Weekly audio show, so it should be a good time. We'll talk WWE, Impact Wrestling, and hopefully we'll work in some Ring of Honor discussion at the end, too. A lot going on, so we'll see how much we can get through coming up on Thursday afternoon exclusively for .NET members. Thanks again, everybody. I'll talk to you soon. Take care.